You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Maestro.
No.
Hey, welcome back, folks. I didn't know if you were doing... Welcome back to Nightlife, folks. I am Pete Schwabba, and the laughter you hear, the exuberant laughter, is that of Greg Bach, who is sitting across the stage from me. My unbelievably talented co-host, Dom Lee, is working the board in Madison, doing the Lord's work there, pressing the buttons and getting it done.
Thank
you. How are you guys? How do you think it's going so far?
I think it's going well. I felt a little off my game in the beginning of the show, but I feel like I'm picking up speed and I'm really, you know, getting my train on the rails and other comparisons using words. I'm doing great.
You're definitely back.
Yeah.
It is great to have you here, folks. It's a Monday night here at the Civic Media Network. This is Nightlight. And if you missed hour number one, you missed our conversation with Madison area music mainstay Robert J., check out the podcast at civicmedia.us. All of our shows are cataloged in podcast form. You can check out those interviews and Greg and I ranting about the news and all kinds of fun stuff. We have another great hour coming up here, just kicking it off as we get started here. A great guest in Steve Burrows coming up at 6:20. Steve is originally from Milwaukee. He's been in LA for years. He's made films like Chump Change and HBO's Bleed Out, and he was a very successful improv comedian, stand-up comedian. And he's directed Super Bowl commercials. The guy's done it all, and he's one of Wisconsin's own. He'll be here shortly. What else, Greg? What am I missing? Jump in here, buddy.
If you missed your opportunity or you want another opportunity to enter into our Break into Spring multi-state text to win contest, well, guess what? We have another opportunity in the 7 o'clock hour. After the show is over, still tune in. Stay here on Civic Media. We're, you know, we don't shut the power off when we leave. but you will get another keyword and you will be able to enter in for today's chance to win $200, get entered into the big grand prize drawing for a mattress set from Verlo. And then we begin the whole thing over tomorrow at 7 a.m. with 7 more chances. And this goes until the end of this week. So, folks, think about that. 7 times 7 times. That's a lot of entries. Do that math in your head. A lot of entries. Every single entry. You don't have to win to be entered either. You enter to win $200, and then you are automatically entered in to win the mattress set. So, again, so stick around for the 7 o'clock hour for your chance to win $200 in the Break into Spring text to win multi-state contest here on Civic Media. Oh yeah.
Can you imagine winning a brand new Verlo mattress and $200 cash? That's a great day.
I'd be amazed. Have you ever won a contest like that? Like, have you ever won anything? So. No, I have.
I think I won like a bingo when I was
still
25 in my high school friends and I were all home and we went to play bingo with the old folks. And I think I might've won like $6. That's all I'm working with here as far as contests go.
It's $6 more than you had, correct?
Correct. It was a win. I put it in the W column for sure.
I won a bike once.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't fix this contest. I didn't cheat, but I certainly exploited the rules, which was, you can enter as many times as you want. So I did. Hundreds of times.
Oh, wow.
To the point where the restaurant called me and said, hey, it's so-and-so from the restaurant. Yeah, you won. I'm like, I know I did.
I think anytime you preface something by saying, I didn't cheat.
I didn't cheat.
That would be kind of assumed, especially what I know of you, Greg. You seem like a reasonably honest guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of put some doubt in my head there. But,
I did not cheat. I am not a crook. I'm not a crook.
Not a crook. Hey, I think what we should do before we read some text is get back to the basics and remind people of our very cool question of the night.
There you go.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the best or most exciting or just your favorite sporting event in America? We are in the middle of, not the middle, we just started the NCAA tournament. And that actually, the first weekend of the tournament is my favorite. That's when there are so many games you can't even keep up. There are upsets and there's drama and great stories behind the players and coaches and universities. It's so much fun. That is mine. But tell us what your favorite sporting event is throughout the course of the year. You got the Super Bowl, Kentucky Derby, Indy 500, World Series, Stanley Cup, all that stuff. There's no right or wrong answer, folks. No. It's just your answer. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. I know you have it. Or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment like Daniel Berry Sports Highlights did. What did he write there, Dom? I can't see that. My computer is crazy.
I can't.
Crazy
it looks like
fonts.
Ice cream or something. I actually can't see either.
Are you guys looking at the Facebook or are you looking at
YouTube?
We're looking at the stream comment.
Yeah. Oh, the stream comment?
Yeah.
It's an emoji.
That just looks like bells or a hi. I think that's just a wave. I think it's just a wave.
He's just saying hi. That's fine too. Folks, you can comment on whatever you want throughout the course of the show, as you know. It's great to have you with us either way.
It looks like two beers. Cheers.
And that's right under that is Terry Barr with her hearts. And Terry referred us to Stephen Jay, which was very nice of her. Thank you, Terry, for that.
I didn't even realize that was Terry.
Yeah.
Hi, Terry. We miss you.
Let's see if she says something back. We've got text to read. We're having a lot of fun here. Steve Burrows is coming up very shortly. Should we get to the text, Greg? What do you think?
Let's get to the text.
All right. Why don't you do, I pulled some off the text line because, you know, when we do these contests, as fun as they are, we have to, it's like doing surgery, pulling the question of the night text out. So I've got those. If you want to alternate, you could do the social media ones.
Sounds good. I will get the social media. You take care of text line. Go ahead, my friend.
Let's go. Let's not waste any more time. The kidding around is pretty much over. We've got Robert from La Crosse says World Curling Championships in Salt Lake City next week. Robert apparently did not get enough of this during the Olympics. And you know what? I have to admit, on opening night of the Olympics, my wife and I were excited to watch the Olympics. We thought we'd get like speed skating, ski jumping, whatever. It was curling, and we were bummed out. But the more we watched it, it looks like there is a science to it, and I think it's kind of cool.
Yes, there. Of course there's a science. It's a deep science. It's very strategic, and you have to have – it's almost like pool in a sense where you'll say like, I want to put the stone here, but I have to do these other things to make it work. Like I said this before when the Olympics started, Jimmy Kimmel made a crack about curling and I got really upset about it because he tried to treat it as like, oh, it's just a bunch of, you know, podunk country folks throwing a rock down some ice. No, it's actually pretty intense and you got to be pretty in shape to do it. If you've ever seen someone sweep in front of a stone, I dare anyone out there, before you make fun of it, to try to do that and just tell me how your shoulders feel the next morning. So curling, it's slow. Yes. Very slow. You're like, okay. But yeah, I love it. I love the intensity people have for curling when they play it. So
do you think that people who are curlers are better sweepers domestically, like cleaning up the kitchen? You think they bring any of that expertise to their domestic
definitely.
Duties?
I think,
yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
Dom pounced. Greg is still thinking about it. I love that.
Well, I'm just thinking about the fact that maybe they might even think to themselves, I got to save the arms. Someone else has to do this. These are championship shoulders and you know, these triceps got to work for the goal. They're not trying to clean up the kitchen. Someone else does. That's why I had kids. Clean up the kitchen.
So we've got Monica in Mount Horeb says the Luca Libre is my favorite sporting event. It's ridiculously over the top and fun in person. I have to admit, my knowledge of this is through Jack Black and Nacho Libre. Is this a wrestling event?
Yeah, so it's Lucha Libre. Lucha. It's pronounced Lucha Libre.
Oh, okay.
And it is traditional Mexican wrestling. Let me repeat this. Let me try this again. It's wrestling in the traditional Mexican sense where they wear masks And Lucha Libre is also, I would say, even more entertaining than watching WWE or AEW, because there's so much more athletics and high flying stunts happening that when, like, Lucha Libre is built to purely entertain, and you are going to walk away mesmerized by what these individuals can do. So yeah, Lucha Libre is a fun night out. It is wild. You will scream your brains out.
It sounds like a nutty night out in the town that I'm all in favor of. we've got Matt on the text line just says, too old and busted to play anything. Yeah. Well, but with that attitude, yeah.
Well, I do not. I feel the same way, Matt. Feel
yeah,
the
I'm
same
not playing
way.
It. We're just talking about it. I love
watching the Grand Slams and tennis. I like watching tennis a lot, but the Grand Slams, especially the U.S. Open, there's just so much excitement there. And then, baseball, the World Series. Even when my team isn't in there, which it's never been since I was, I don't know how old, but yeah, baseball and tennis are the ones I always gravitate towards. If like this weekend I watched some golf and I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, I'm interested in this, but then I moved on.
Dude, I'm totally with you there. Anything that comes down to like tennis, when they go and it's love and it keeps just, that's really tense. A golf putt. I don't watch golf. I don't play golf.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure it's a sport, but it is pretty doggone exciting when it comes down to a putt. Love any game seven. Love the NCAA tournament. Dom, did you answer this question?
Yeah, I have an answer. I really like soccer, so I would say MLS Cup for me. Easily MLS love it. Cup. Nice.
We have some text messages here. Jeff Schmidt says the Stanley Cup playoffs. P. Schwaba says NCAA tourney, pound for pound, the best sport drama and stories. Tim Baker on Facebook says playoff baseball game seven series the best. And Boris Hamilton, the Red Bull soapbox race.
Okay. I am not familiar with that, but Boris is a good dude.
And then Pat Francis says the Pinewood Derby. Good reference there. Good reference.
Brett in Brown Deer says, my favorite sporting event is any championship tournament that my team is still in. Great answer, Brett. That makes great sense, too. That's true when you have a vested interest. And then, this is interesting. Okay, Cam said, a 1995 Dodgers game, Disco Demolition Night, is my favorite because it caused the game to be forfeited. He's talking about at Comiskey Park. Greg, you must be familiar with this.
And that's from like the late 70s, actually. Disco sucks.
Yeah, radio host Steve Dahl organized it. They blew up records. They had to cancel the game. People from the stands went on the field. My buddy Rich Brown to this day says he remembers standing on the pitcher's mound smoking weed and taking in all the chaos around him. Mm. That was insanity. And I have to be honest, when I was a kid, my aunts and uncles all went out disco dancing and there was disco everywhere. I kind of liked the music. I didn't understand it at all.
Well, the thing is, it took place on July the 12th, 1979 in Chicago, and there was a great article I read a long time ago that said that whole thing, and the DJ completely denies this, but the basis is it was really based on a lot of racism and homophobia because, you know, when it comes to disco music, that is an art form that came from the clubs, specifically gay clubs. So like I read an article and watched a documentary about, or a short documentary about the origins of Disco Demolition Night or Disco Sucks Night at Comiskey Park. But I remember those scenes growing up as a little kid, like people running around like this smoky Comiskey Park trying to get themselves together. And the White Sox are like, yeah, we're done. We're done for the night. You ruined it. So thanks.
No baseball. Nobody gets to have any fun.
No. All right. Don't go anywhere, folks. When we come back, we'll be talking to filmmaker Steve Burrows right here on Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Got any questions? Feel free to call in. Text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still lots of Nightlight here to come. Join us. You're listening to Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Sitting across the state from me is Greg Bach, Dom Lee, Dom Lee, working the board in Madison, holding down the fort at Civic Media HQ, if you will. Crisis averted, guys. We have got our next guest. I am so thrilled. Every time he's on the show, I love it. I'm excited Greg and Dom both get to meet him now. He is a native Wisconsinite, more specifically Milwaukee. He is the creative force behind such films as Chump Change and big time, I believe, Super Bowl commercials too. And he is most recently very famous for his outstanding documentary called Bleed Out, which you can catch on HBO. It's been there for a couple of years. But if you want to see it with a crowd, which is always more desirable when it comes to movie watching, we're going to give you some information on where you can see it right here in southern Wisconsin this weekend. It is my pleasure to welcome the very talented and just an all-around swell guy, Mr. Steve Burrows. Hey, buddy.
Howdy, everybody. How's it going?
Good. Great. How are you this evening? Great. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Love you guys and appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, of course. Always. So, man, I got so many questions, Steve. But all right, the reason we have you on initially, you made this great documentary called Bleed Out. And, you know, if you've ever been frustrated with the medical industry or medicine or doctors or hospitals or whatever, I highly recommend it. It's a very gripping, moving story. Steve, tell us about Bleed Out first, and then we'll get into where it's playing this weekend.
Great. Thank you, Pete. So I was a comedy guy in LA for about 25 years, you know, making a fool of myself for a living. TV, movies, commercials. I was on Super Bowl commercials. You know, always the idiot, always the guy that never got the girl, never got, you know. And I was typecast, and it was fine. Life was good. And then my mom, back in one of my Super Bowl commercials, I'll just tell you real quick, was for Celsa Blue dandruff. I was the guy that 100 million people thought had dandruff, and by the way, I did. It was one of the so. It was just a great, nutty, weird life that I was living. And then my mom back in Milwaukee, a retired school teacher, went in for a routine partial hip replacement and came out in a coma with permanent brain damage. And my uncle's a doctor. My aunt's a nurse. I flew in. I became power of attorney. My uncle got the medical records. He looked at this one page and he said, this has been falsified. And that sent us on a 10-year journey of trying to find, number one, take care of my mother, mm-hmm. and number two, try to figure out what happened to my mother. And in this pursuit of getting her justice in the legal system, we discovered that medical error, our little personal story, was actually a universal story. We found out it was medical error is a third leading cause of death in America. So We just stayed on it. I shot the whole film on my iPhone. I actually went undercover with a spy pen.
That was great.
That's actually one of the reasons why it's an HBO movie. Because I was getting the runaround for years, and then but a certain doctors were telling me one thing and another, and then I decided I did the radical thing of trying, I just wanted to do what was in my mom's best interest, and I wasn't even sure how to work this little, you know, it was like a little spy pen thing. I didn't know if it worked. I turned it over to my editor. He goes, "What is this?" I go, I don't know, but as it turns out, it was the truth.
Yeah.
And we caught it. We caught the genie in a bottle. Had no expectations for this. It came out just over 6 years ago, and we're so lucky because there's so many people like us who have gone through these kinds of things, and they don't have an opportunity to tell their story. We got one of the biggest, you know, outlets that you can. I mean, we 25 million people have seen this thing. And, you know, we take it very seriously that I've personally heard from 100,000 people and their families who have told me their stories. And it's basically the same story. It's not the exact same story as my mom, but it's the same story about, you know, when something goes wrong, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And you know, what are you going to do as a doctor or a hospital when that mistake happens? And we all know what the right answer is. It turns out about half of them do the right thing. Half of them don't. And, the most unexpected thing out of this film, this little tiny film that we made, is that it started to continue its upward trajectory by we started getting calls from medical schools and nursing schools and universities wanting to show this film to their medical students as teaching curriculum. And I'm like, I'm the guy with dandruff on the Celsa Blue commercial. I am not I'm not a doctor. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a nurse. I don't know much of anything, but for whatever reason, our little story, we caught it live. And when you watch the film, it takes place over 10 years in about 90 minutes. It takes place over 10 years. And it's an insane journey that apparently happens every day here in America.
I have a question for you, but I'm going to wait for it because we go to break in a few moments, and it's going to take a little bit longer. But I do want to say this is that to me, HBO is a network that has a certain amount of gravitas for me personally. If it's a documentary on HBO, specifically nowadays, if it's a stand-up special on HBO, I'm like, this has to be of some quality because HBO does not just hand this stuff out regularly and to anyone who wants it. So to me, the fact that this is on HBO has a certain amount of pull. And it even says on your website that, according to your website, it says that it will be on there for another year at least. So that's good. Yeah, people can continue to see it.
They renewed it four times, certainly due to the the public being so far behind us. But really, the thing that's given us that second booster has been the medical community, because we thought that the American medical community would not respond to this movie. When you see it, you'll see why. But it was just the opposite. They're like, and I knew when we actually pitched the movie to HBO, we walked into this woman, her name's Sheila Nevins. And, you know, Pete would know this, when you pitch somebody, most people in showbiz can say no. They have the ability to say no. Very few can say yes. I walked into Sheila Nevins' office, and it was like she had like 15 Oscars. And
hey, Steve. Steve, let's pick up right there. Yeah. I want to hear the rest of this, but we got to do the news. We're going to come back, and then we'll also tell you where you can see this outstanding film this weekend. Steve Burrows is here, folks, a native son. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Yes, more ELO whenever you can. Find a way to play ELO. Welcome back to Night.
Do you know
Night,
what
folks.
I say to that band? Hello.
Yeah, I'm rethinking the ELO thing. Hey, welcome back, folks. Oh. I'm sorry, Greg. I couldn't resist. I'm Pete Schwabe. Sitting across the state from me is Greg Bach. Producing the show in Madison is Dom Lee. Dom Lee, as we sometimes refer to him. It is great to have you here, folks. We are in the middle of a great conversation with our current guest. He is a native Wisconsinite who makes his home, we just learned, north of Phoenix now. After years in L.A., he is responsible for films like Chump Change, which is hilarious, Super Bowl commercials. He was on Seinfeld. Just a really talented guy. And we were talking about his documentary that you can find on HBO, Bleed Out. Steve Burrows is with us over the stream. Steve, you were talking about going into the offices of HBO right before we went to the break. Please continue.
Yeah. So when you're in showbiz, you're a filmmaker, you've got scripts or stories or whatever, you go into these meetings, and 98% of the people that you meet in these meetings, whether it's New York or LA, are people that can say no. Everybody can say no. There's very few people that actually can say yes. And I had prepared this whole like half hour long pitch. And we went up in the elevator at HBO, and I wasn't sure who I was meeting. And we walk out, and we go into this woman's office, Sheila Nevins and Nancy Abraham. It's the two of them. And their office is literally like covered with like Academy Awards, Oscars. And when I say 150 Emmys, no exaggeration, it is. And I realize at this moment, I have the rare opportunity here to pitch this story to somebody who can say yes. And I decided to not do the verbal pitch. I had this little 5 minute kind of a sizzle reel thing of what I thought it could be. And I showed it to them. And 5 minutes later, they said, let's do it. I waited, you know, 3 decades for that meeting to happen. But
to get a yes.
HBO, they gave such great notes. You know, normally you get these crazy idiotic notes from people. And HBO, they gave me very few notes, but they were all very, really good notes, you know.
Yeah.
And I took every single one of them. And I credit them for really kind of shaping. Like, I was going to tell the whole movie in the past tense. And they said, well, that's a mistake. why don't you just think about doing it in the present tense over 10 years? So I just took out all the, you know, all the past tense, all the, you know, instead of walked, walk, instead of, you know, and it just made the film like, so all of a sudden the audience was like completely in the story with me because I was shooting it live all those years. It was just a great note that I would have never come up with and, you know, ever.
You know, I hear that story all the time. You know, when you walk when you watch documentaries about movies or TV shows, you hear these horror stories of executives coming to set or being part of the process, handing notes that are just ridiculous. But I also love hearing stories about executives who hand notes to artists that help, because it reminds me that even though they're wearing a suit, even though they're not the one writing or directing, there are still people in this industry, in your industry, I should say, who care about what's being made, and they want to do their best to be a part of the process. And by giving those notes makes me happy, because it means there are people who are still doing that job right now, instead of what we all think of, you know, algorithms, ones and zeros, you know, engagement, all the words. But there are still people who said, I got into this industry because I love movies and television, and I want to be the best help I can be. So when I hear things like that, it still makes me very happy to know that they're still around.
Yeah, our first film that Pete mentioned, Chump Change, was literally about my worst experience in show business, in basically development hell. Mm-hmm. And I had a studio executive. I was writing a movie back then, 25 years ago. It was like a kind of an Animal House kind of thing. And this studio executive literally told me, he says, no punctuation. That was his note to me. I don't want to see any punctuation.
What?
And I thought he was messing with me, right? I thought, I was a pretty new writer. And he's like, I don't want to be bothered by, like, you know, punctuation marks or quotes or periods or commas or semicolons. And I call my agent and I say, is this for real? And he goes, yeah, this guy just doesn't like punctuation. So that was a particularly stupid note to give. Yeah.
Right? Well,
I've experienced the best and the worst of Hollywood note giving.
The one story I always think about is when Kevin Smith talks about writing that draft of Superman that never got made with Nicolas Cage, and the guy who produced it, John Peters, says, I don't want to see him in a suit and I don't want to see him flying. You're like, then we're not making a movie. We're not making a movie about Superman then. But yeah, it's, I'm sure there are millions. I'm sure, Pete, you have tons of stories as well about notes where you're like, hey, you know, it'd be really good. You're like, go ahead, tell me what you think would be really good. And then you just chuck the note away.
It's so weird because you get these notes, and Steve, I don't know if this has been your experience, but at first you're like, this has to be a joke. So you sit there with this blank stare for like 5 seconds. You're like, oh, this guy's serious. So and you got to get through the meeting. You don't want to piss people off. But Steve, where can people, all right, so the whole reason you're coming to Wisconsin is to show Bleed Out, this great movie we've been talking about. Where can people see it? And are you going to do a Q&A?
Yes. So we are, we have been chosen to be the closing night film a week from last night at the Beloit International Film Festival.
Wow.
And this film festival is just a terrific, eclectic, it's a film festival. It's got over 100 films, longs, shorts, documentaries, fiction. If you go on their website, it is astounding the amount of work that they're showing in the next, they start on Wednesday. And we'll get there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I couldn't believe the quality of these films. Mm-hmm. We feel so lucky to be able to. I love to be able to show this film because you can obviously see it on HBO, but you can't normally see it on the big screen. So we're in the big theater there in the Wilson Theater at Beloit College. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to screen this thing over the past few years on the big. There's nothing, as we all know. You know, I know I'm going to sound like the directorial idiot, but boy, there's nothing like seeing a movie on the big screen. And my movie, Bleed Out, was poorly shot, right? Poorly recorded on this iPhone. Like I said, I had no idea what I was doing. And I thought HBO would not really be into the lack of quality. And they said, we don't care about any of that. It's content.
Wow.
It's the story. You know, just we'll make sure that people can see it and hear it. Mm-hmm. So when we first showed it on the big screen in New York, I thought it was going to be a disaster. It was just the opposite. You know, it's just the thrill of being able to come back home to where the movie was made in Wisconsin and show it for Wisconsin audiences in ways they've never seen it before. We can't wait. And there's going to be a Q&A afterwards. They've warned me that the Q&As go, they go deep, and I'm like, love it. You can ask us anything. We just can't wait to get there. So, yeah.
I think that, you know, I think you're doing something right now, Steve, that's typical Midwestern, where you've done this thing that people love and you are trying to be like, it was filmed on an iPhone. It doesn't sound good. I feel like if anyone said that to you, Steve, you'd be like, oh, it was a film on an iPhone. It doesn't look good. Like, yeah, but HBO bought it. So what's your explanation there? So that's what I'm saying to you. It's a good film. People like it. It looks nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you. The question I have, though, for you is, it goes back to something you said earlier in the previous segment, is that medical schools have been showing this to students, and that raises the question of what kind of pushback, you know, you've gotten, and you said you were surprised by the embracing that they've taken towards this documentary. Yeah. Has there been pushback from people in the medical field, or if so, is that like the insurance side or the administration side? But what do they seek to achieve when they show it in their classes? They're saying like, watch this. This is how you can become a better doctor. Don't do what they're doing. Do this. But like, what kind, you know, that's wonderful to see. But was there also pushback at anyone in the industry as well?
Well, I'll take that question first. We expected there to be pushback. In fact, HBO, they took a full year. Like when you see the film, you'll understand that this is like a hardcore medical legal drama, heavy on legalese, because there was a whole medical malpractice case in the film that goes over a 7-year period. And HBO took a full year before they released the film. They took a full year to legally vet every single second of this movie. Wow. I had to prove everything we said. So there's a moment where doctors were replaced in the intensive care unit by a camera in the corner. And there was no doctor there. There was just a nurse. And the camera was out by the airport. And there was one doctor out by the Milwaukee airport watching 160 patients like my mom in a coma. And the cameras weren't on. So HBO said, you can't just go out there, man, and just say there are no doctors in the ICU and replaced by cameras that aren't on. You're going to have to prove it. And we could prove it. We had all the backup. We had all the evidence. We went through the entire trial, etc. There are moments like this in our story that are, I mean, the HBO lawyers have seen it all. You know, they did the Woody Allen thing and they did the Michael Jackson thing and, you know, the Scientology thing. And I said, are you guys worried about us? They go, no, we got this. We got it.
Yeah. They worry about they worry about John Oliver. That's who they worry about.
By the way, that our lawyer is his lawyer for the show. So we know that they're legally vetting him every week when they do that. So when the movie came out, the HBO lawyers told us, be prepared for anywhere from 12 to 15 lawsuits. Wow. It's coming. And we're like, because we're just Steve and Margo, the Burrows of Hollywood, just the two of us. But we had HBO. And they said, no, don't worry about it. And because we did the legal vetting and we had all our ducks in a row. We told the truth and everything was backed up in triplicate. Take a guess how many times we've been sued since this movie came out.
I want to say zero to feel good, but I also feel like I should say 100.
I like Pete. You want to guess at all?
10.
Zero.
Yeah. You did it.
Nothing.
Wow. The
story was rock solid. It was vetted to the nth degree. And the reason, now I'll circle back to your second question, which was your first question. I think the reason that the medical student or the universities and the medical schools are seeing it is because when you see it, it's in present tense. You go through everything that my mom and our family went through. And these medical practitioners who all went to medical school and nursing school, the doctors who run this, they are horrified, absolutely horrified and embarrassed by the care that my mother received. And I'll try to answer your question by quoting, we recently did something at the Mayo Clinic and there was this young oncologist who looked like he was 14 years old. I mean, he looked like a baby, but he's a cancer doctor. And he came up to me and he said, and he had tears in his eyes at the end of this thing. And I'm sure he was probably like 27, 28, something like that. He said, I just want you to know that watching your mother go through what she went through has forever changed the way I'm going to practice medicine in my entire career.
That's amazing. That's
great.
I told that dude, thanks, man. I mean, that just made the last 10 years worth it in one sentence. you know, it's like, what are you going to do? What they do is they show, I think all these medical schools and universities show their young charges, because you'll see in our movie, there were unbelievable medical mistakes made. And you got to make a decision as a human being or as a hospital or as a corporation. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Yeah. Are you going to go this way or that way? And the place, like, we're going to Georgetown. I don't know how much time we have, but we're in 2 weeks.
We got about
30
seconds.
Georgetown University Medical School, we're going in 2 weeks. Their last speaker was Dr. Fauci. We're like, what? Come on.
No pressure, Steve. No pressure whatsoever. Like,
have you guys seen the film? I mean, we are not. Yeah. You know, anyway, but they're doing it for that. They want to make sure that, because if you make a mistake and you have the opportunity to be honest with the family and correct it, then the same mistake won't be made again, and mm-hmm. healthcare gets better and everything gets better.
Yeah.
Steve, we're out of time. I'm so sorry. I had new chump change questions for you, but we'll do that next time. Steve Burrows, thank you so much. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight.
Thank you, guys.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. My name is Greg Bach here in Radio Park in Racine, all the way across the state, live and in charge in Christmas Town 2015 USA, Marinette, Wisconsin. I'm trying to make it work for you, buddy.
I give
Pete
up.
Schwabe.
Christmas City, USA. I cannot stress this enough.
I'll write that down. Hold on. I'm writing that down.
I'll bet you will.
Holiday Extravaganzaville 2014.
Oh, I like all that, right, actually.
But you're listening to Nightlight here. We are with you for a little bit longer. Don't go anywhere. There's still lots of programming still ahead. We don't, as I said before, we don't shut the lights off when we're done. There's still lots going on. Plus, another chance, your final chance for today, to text in a keyword to win $200 in the Break Into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest here. Going throughout the rest of the week, you get 7 opportunities throughout the day, but at 7 p.m. in that hour, that's your final one for today. Your next one will be at 7 a.m., and you must enter using the Civic Media app. So that's the Break Into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest here on Civic Media. Good luck. Now it's time, Pete,
yes,
for a little portion of the show we've been doing for a while, but we haven't really like concreted it down.
We've been workshopping it, kind of.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's like a Broadway play, or like, you know, those sets. Correct. You do on the road. You're like, oh, I got a cool joke I want to do tonight. We've been polishing and polishing, but now it's time for a section of the show we call the Nightcap.
There we go.
I was giving it some dramatic.
No, I thought maybe you spaced out.
I did. Point is, I was looking at tomorrow's show, and I'll get to that later, but this is the Nightcap, where we take a look at the show that was, reflect on our own thoughts, get some text messages if we have them, and just have some general frivolity. I think this is, Pete, where we should have, like, just bow ties. We don't have to tie them, but, like, you just, like, undo them. Just.
Oh, I like that.
At the end. Like, who doesn't? You don't have to dress up. Just have a bow tie untied around your neck. With
martini
a little,
in hand.
Exactly. Yeah, and you're like, yeah, I like that. Hey, folks. Welcome to the Nightcap.
You know, I just want to say before we completely wrap things up, Bleed Out, yeah, check it out on HBO. If you can't make it to Beloit, because that's going to be a really cool thing. Steve is so entertaining when he does Q&As. But his movie, Chump Change, I think you could just watch it on YouTube. It's got Ben Stiller's parents, Stiller and O'Mara, Tim mm-hmm. Matheson, Tracy Lords. Steve, okay, we know that adult films typically are not well acted. The plots aren't great. Tracy Lords, who is a former adult film actress, is in Chump Change. Mm-hmm. And she won Best Actress at the U.S. HBO Comedy Film, not film, HBO Comedy and Arts Festival. So yeah, really talented guy. And I can't wait to have him back on. That was fun.
Yeah, we'll set it up for one of our After Dark series, for our After Dark series, which, you don't know about that, folks.
Death.
Go to Civic Media's YouTube page, where you can find full-length interviews with people we've talked to. We'll give you a couple segments, you know, 20 minutes or so, but then there's a whole other half of that conversation. So go to civicmedia.us. Go to our YouTube page, which I believe is also Civic Media US, to find the After Dark series and watch and listen and get in touch. But yeah, We are here in the nightcap. So, Pete, how do you think we did for great stuff? Week five. I think we need to let go of how many weeks it is, but we also don't because it's our show.
At some point, it's like saying it's our, you know, 7 week anniversary when you first start dating someone. Eventually, that just kind of falls off. But I agree. And I think this is fun, too, just for some validation. Craig Knitt on the stream says, also, guys, loving the secret show.
Yes.
What do you
thank
know?
Thank you very much. Well, you know, I mean, thank you, Craig. Hey, we're just a couple of people trying to have fun here, just having a good time. I want to read some more text messages. Let's see here. Someone else. Rob Lehman. Love Rob. He's a regular listener on the live stream. Says March Madness NCAA basketball tournament. He loves that as well, just like you do, Pete. He's up in Tigerton. Rob in Tigerton. If you're listening to this, Rob, drink your water. You know what I mean, Rob. Drink your water.
Oh, I love an inside joke like that.
Not a joke. It's not a joke. It's an inside medical advice.
Oh, dear. Oh,
no. Yeah, he needs to drink more water.
Well, good. Well, thank you for the text either way. Yeah. Well, you know, hydrated or dehydrated, it's great to hear from And we've got, and Matt in Eau Claire says, love the afterglow idea, Greg. There you go.
All right. Well,
I think he means nightcap, right?
Well, or it means dark. After dark. I have no idea. I just had a good idea. It wasn't my idea, Matt. We all thought of it together, but I'll take credit. But very much appreciate everyone who called and texted. Tomorrow's show, we've got Kevin Dospoy, who is the director of Forward Analytics. He'll be here talking about Wisconsin's struggling economy. And then in the second hour, Greg, am I pronouncing this correct here, Pete?
Yeah.
Greg Schwemm, writer of the syndicated column Hotel Humor, will be here to share some of his latest observations and absurdities from everyday life. So
Greg is I met Greg doing stand-up in Chicago years ago. He had just moved to Chicago, which I think is where he was from. He was a news reporter in Florida who kind of chucked that career and went the stand-up route and did really well. And now he's got this Humor Hotel column for Tribune Media Services. And great observational stuff. Love talking to Greg and breaking down his articles. So we'll do that tomorrow night. That'll be fun, too.
And you brought up that point of, like, someone who says, like, you know, we've been dating for 7 weeks or whatever. I always would tell new comics, tell the audience it's your first time on stage if you want to. That's fine. You'll get claps. They'll be – but – stop after that, because you'll have people who will go on stage and be like, it's my 14th time. It's like, stop telling them that.
Yeah.
Just stop saying that. Just nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And if anything, they might think, oh, he should be a little further along.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. It's my
14th time.
They don't
know how long it
takes. You just started comedy yesterday. Well, I do comedy in New York and there's a lot of microphones. So, exactly. All right, folks, on behalf of Pete, I'm going to say thanks to Dominic, to Tucker, engineering and traffic. Without them, none of this stuff works. These microphones don't work. I want to thank everyone who called, texted. Sorry, Cindy from Appleton. We weren't able to take your call, but, you know, call on back. We want to hear from you again. Robert J. and Steve Burrows for being our guests tonight. And we just appreciate all of you for being a part of this. Without you, there is no us. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. There's plenty of more coming up on Civic Media, including your chance to enter in the 7 o'clock keyword in the Break in the Spring Text to Win contest. But that's for you to do. Get that Civic Media app. Download it. Stick around. Be patient. You'll get that word. Good luck to you. All right, folks. We're going to get on out of here, but we'll be back tomorrow. Pete, say goodnight to the people, please.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.